Hi. You're muted.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Can hear you now.
Well,
It's if maybe right click on Paula's name and try to change it if you want. I don't know.
we talked, Paula talked to Phil and he's okay with it.
Oh, okay. Gonna close my door.
There we go. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes.
I can.
You ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. The work schedule may vary in instances of an emergency, but is typically from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, with an unpaid half hour for lunch and two 15-minute paid 15-minute breaks. Is this acceptable?
Yes.
Position requires a valid driver's license. You got a valid driver's license?
Yes.
Describe your current most recent job responsibilities and duties.
Currently, I am the oil and gas inspector. And when a application comes in, I review the application, then send certified letters out to anybody that is within 1,000 feet of a wellhead. Go out if there's any issues with it. I get with the property owner, and if need be, the COGCC would come down and we'd have a consultation as to the location of the well, or if the site is, say, on a hillside and could create problems down. Downhill from that, we try to mitigate those problems. Also, I'm the noxious weed sprayer for the county, I carry my supervisor license, so I take care of all county roads from noxious weeds in the summertime. Also, I do all of the addressing for the county and work close with the 911 and MSAG to make sure that as to the accuracy of the location of the homes or potential homes. I work close with MSAG and 911. When there's a fire issue, if there's a potential evacuation area, then that's a priority area that I have to look at and make sure we are able to find everybody.
Describe your strengths, things that you do well.
My strengths are, I've got 30 years experience with a county. I know where information is located. I don't have to, a lot of times in the assessor's office, I don't have to ask for information. I know exactly where to go to get that information, whether it be for addresses, whether it be for permits. I'm very familiar with the community, with a lot of the contractors, because I dealt with them prior to all of this. I'm not real confrontational. I try to resolve the problems before it escalates. I guess that's about it.
Areas needing improvement.
Say that again.
Areas needing improvement.
Areas needing improvement. A lot of the areas, there's some areas that are currently having building structures and most like squatters in areas that need to be addressed. Most of those areas will probably be out east, mainly because there's people that move in that they want to live off the grid, so they avoid getting permits. And I know neighboring ranchers in some areas have developed problems due to these people moving in and not having facilities that they need to, such as water. A lot of people have tried to avoid getting permits.
What areas in not necessarily from a county perspective, but areas of your, I don't want to say of your life, but areas that would need improvement that, you know, let's say, for instance, on me, my wife always tells me I've got tunnel vision. If I get something in my brain, that's where I look. And I don't necessarily tend to look outside of my little narrow scoped tunnel vision. Not much?
No.
Okay. No, that's fine. Describe your experience in building residential construction and inspections.
As far as from 1997 to 2007, I supervised the building department, the building inspectors. I had two building inspectors. And then when oil and gas started, we moved one of the inspectors over to do both oil and gas and building. So I was, a lot of times I was having to go out and do some of their, it was mostly foundation, footer and foundation inspections, because people were waiting to pour cement. So what I would do is they'd send me out and go out and make sure rebar was in and make sure it wasn't sitting on the ground, make sure it was tied up properly so they can get pouring, because we didn't want to delay them in doing that. When it came to framing inspections, I would go out with the building inspector to do those. I didn't do a lot of them. And then in 2017, when we had no inspector, we had an inspector one day a week, I think at that time, I had to go ahead and I had to proceed to sell building permits, come up with a cost. I'd go out and make sure if there was two or more layers of roofing on there, that it was a complete tear off before they can start their new layer on there. I did that, I think, for the entire year till they hired a full-time building inspector. I'd go out and usually a lot of times, matter of fact, in 2000, I always take pictures. And because that's what we put the pictures in the files so we can go back and look prior to when we poured cement in there to make sure, you know, the rebar was okay on it. So we always had pictures of all of that building information.
Okay. How familiar are you with the ADA compliance?
Not very familiar with it because I didn't have to deal with it that much.
Okay, land use.
Land use, I'm very familiar with that, as that's what I am currently doing. We did a master plan back in 2001. We also redid the land use guide at that time. That was originally from 1982, I think. And I think it was redone in 2013. And we continue to make amendments to that regulation as we see the need to do that, because things are always changing. But I am very familiar with the land use.
And the last one is oil and gas, and you pretty much told us the oil and gas experience earlier. So you're currently the county oil and gas inspector.
Yes.
Certificates and/or education. Have you got any kind of certifications when it comes to building or any of the other the ADA. Well, ADA, wouldn't you said that land use, oil and gas?
No, at one time I was a member of the APA, the American Planning Association, from 97 to 2007. I would go to those to get some continuing education. Once I left and went into the oil and gas, I was no longer in that. I also, noxious weed coordinator, I have to take continuing education credits for that to upkeep on that.
Okay. What are the main job duties and responsibilities of a building inspector?
Main job duties is to get them started by getting a septic permit. Then they come in and explain to me what they want to do. Give me a site plan as to where they're going to build it. Make sure they meet the setbacks. And then make sure they, give them the basics of wind loads, snow loads, frost line depth, different things like that. As they proceed with the project, you have footer foundation inspections that are required. Then you have framing that is required after the rough in, plumbing and electrical are in. Then you have sheetrock inspection prior to tape and texture on that. And then after, once it's completed, then you do a final, and you make sure all the electrical inspectors have signed off on the project. The plumbing inspector, state plumbing inspector, has signed off on the project. The health department has signed off on the project, and then the county has to sign off on the project. Then you can proceed to issue a certificate of occupancy on the building.
Land use coordinator, job duties and responsibilities of the land use coordinator.
As a land use coordinator, I see that all whether it be businesses, special use permits, I assist the applicant in getting through those, preparing for planning commission meetings. I make sure all the submittal requirements are within that packet. I also send these packets out to all the referral agencies for comments. If need be, I go out and post signs at the location of the proposed special use permit. And that sign would have the date and time of the meeting. We proceed into we have a public hearing before the Planning Commission. And then from there, it goes on to the commissioners for their public hearings. And it's a Planning Commission job to make recommendations, whether to approve, disapprove, approve with conditions. And they are recommending board. They're not, they don't make a determination, they just recommend. And it moves on to the county commissioners for their approval or disapproval or approval with conditions.
Okay, and then an oil and gas job duties and responsibilities?
Oil and gas, I usually get the permits for drilling. At that time, I review them. There's a fee involved in that. I go through and anybody within 1,000 feet of a proposed wellhead, we are required to send them certified letters. We get those out. If a property owner has an issue with the location, I meet with them on site, and then they meet with the operator on site. If we can't come to an agreement on that, then we will contact the COGCC, and I can do that because as a LDG land to the oil and gas, we set up a meeting with them and see if we can't come up with a suitable location that will satisfy the property owner, the operator, and everybody involved, whether it be to move it to a different site or a different place on the property. Sometimes the issues we run into, some people bought a 35 acre tract. There may be only one area that's suitable for a home. And basically maybe they bought it 20 years ago with that intention, but they haven't built yet. And we really don't want the oil and gas to take that site and then leave the rest of the property unbuildable property for the property owner when he had long-term plans to build a home on that property.
Okay, are you comfortable with clients getting upset with you and expressing their dislike of your decisions, like on building inspections? You know, if you say, no, this needs to be fixed, or I'm not going to issue you a sign off on this, and they get testy, you're going to be okay with that?
Yeah, I've dealt with a lot of those in the oil and gas end, and I've also in the building end. I don't get into, I let them state their opinion. I state my opinion. If they get verbally abusive or if I feel physically threatened, I will just leave the property because I have other avenues that I can proceed with. But when I come back to the office, I'll get them a certified letter, going over the violation of the property. I give them so many days to resolve the issue. And if not, then we go, we'll turn it over to the county attorney for a further action.
Assistant requests a building permit for construction of a new home. Step through the process you intend to use in determining the permitting process.
Permitting process, how that usually works is first thing they need to do is I need to assign them a physical address. It's not a mailing address, it's a physical address. It would be easier to keep track on a building permit if I have a physical address. Then they can take that physical address to the health department and request an issuance of a septic permit. Once they issue the septic permit to them, they submit a plot plan to the land use office with the location of the new proposed home and any outbuildings and with all the setbacks on that plot plan to make sure they meet the setbacks for that particular zone, whether it's the ranchette zone, whether it's agriculture, urban residential, or rural residential. Once they do that, if they're going to build a home, we'd probably have them get them to bring in a set of plans stamped by an engineer on that. And then we issue them a footer and a foundation permit. then a building permit for the structure itself, and then proceed with the needed inspections, with a footer and foundation inspection, rough framing inspection, and then tape and texture inspection prior to taping, once it's nailed or screwed on, and then that's how I would proceed with it. There's times that I know, because the springtime and the summertime are extremely busy, our inspectors used to, there was times that we'd have to go out, or they'd request to go out on a Saturday. Sometimes people will build a home, they're coming in on weekends, they may be from up north, they come in on weekends and they're working on their home, and we try to accommodate them as far as doing an inspection on a weekend. You know, you never want to hold up a project. Somebody's wanting to pour, and you don't want to hold him up as far as ordering cement, because a lot of times the cement companies here stay extremely busy and you have to book them ahead of time. So we don't want to hold them up on their projects.
Imagine that you do an inspection for a friend and a piece of the construction doesn't meet code. Your friend asks you to issue a final inspection and a CEO promising they'll fix the problem. What will you do?
No, I wouldn't issue a CEO until it's done. That's a good way to get yourself run into problems.
Tell us about the last time you monitored, reviewed information or a structure and detected a problem, and how did you respond?
The last time I ran into issues, probably on a building inspection, is when we were doing roofs. I usually required them. I wanted to see that if they told me it was going to be a complete tear off, I would go out to make sure it was a complete tear off, because I did find one or two that basically it caught them. They were redecking it over the existing roof, and there was like three layers on it. Their biggest problem is they didn't bid a complete tear off, but when I issued the permit, they said it was a complete tear off. They weren't real happy, but that's what is required.
So you went ahead and made them do the tear off, like this
required. Yeah, they had just started redecking. So I think they had to pull up two or three sheets and tear it off. And then I went back later to make sure it was completely off.
Okay, right now we're Los Angeles County uses the 2009 codes. Describe how you'll inspect and what you look for when inspecting a foundation.
When inspecting a footer and a foundation, I make sure that the depth is correct. Because a frost line 8,000 feet or less is, I think, 32 inches, more is 48 inches. But I, more than anything, I check to make sure there's enough rebar and that the rebar is tied up properly and not sitting on the ground in the hole. A lot of times they miss and it starts sagging in there. So we got to make sure all that rebar is tied up.
Okay. What's on stair specifications, what's the minimum width? Do you know what that is by the 2009 code? The stairway? A stairway's minimum width according to the 2009 code?
That, without looking at the code, I don't know.
Okay. And do you know what the riser is? Probably same thing. You know, the riser.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I'd have to go back to the book.
Okay. And in the minimum tread depth and the landings, when landings are required, you need to go back to the book. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what the hallway dimensions are? Minimum hallway dimensions?
Not without looking at the book.
Okay. Are smoke alarms required?
Yes, I think they are.
And any guess as to where the locations of smoke alarms should be?
Not right offhand.
Okay. Is underfloor ventilation required? Like, you know, people are building a lot of modulars and stuff, and is that underfloor?
Yes, it has to be ventilated.
It has to be ventilated?
It has to be ventilated under this crawl space.
Do you know how often or?
That I'm not sure.
Okay. On wall constructions, are holes allowed to be drilled into the frame, into the wall framing?
Say that again.
Are holes allowed to be drilled into a wall's framing?
I think they're allowed just to run electrical, small holes.
Okay, do you know what those standards are?
I don't.
Okay. Do you know what a helix is?
No.
Okay. On the ADA, we'll talk a little bit about ramps. Do you know what the maximum slope of a ramp on an ADA ramp would be?
No, I don't.
Okay. And I'm assuming the same with the width and the length?
Yes.
Okay.
Not without looking through the book.
Okay. Describe what you'll look for and how you'll inspect a roofing system.
A roofing system?
Yes.
Basically, go in and make sure that use the proper thickness of sheeting on the decking, and then make sure they put their underlayment and their ice shield on there before they put their start putting their the roofing on. Make sure it's nailed properly. I guess that's about it.
What is the ice barrier or whatever it is that you talked about?
That's an ice barrier is if there's an area where the ice is, you feel the ice will build up and we put that ice barrier, you put that ice barrier on there just for that reason, because in Colorado, the ice, it tends to freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw. And they one time they didn't require that. I'm not sure if the 2009, but I know the current building, the past building inspector required it.
And it's underneath the shingles?
Yeah.
Okay. And the special requirements, it says must possess or obtain within 1 year of hiring a residential building inspector certification from the International Conference of Building Officials. You think you can obtain that certification within a year?
Yes, I do.
Any idea what that certification is, what it allows or what it has defined?
If it what?
How it's defined, what that certification is, what that allows you to do?
Basically, it's allowed to allows you to do residential inspections. Doesn't allow you to a commercial inspection is different, but it would allow to do residential inspections.
And on the land use, I have a question here. What do you know about land use? But you've described to us already your knowledge about that. What can we expect in your first 90 days, land use, building, et cetera, if you're selected for the position?
Probably in the first 90 days, probably the priority is going to be building, because it's going to be that time of year when the building construction is going on. Quite a bit, just by the number of addresses that I'm issuing right now and the number of calls I got to requesting zoning and the setbacks. So probably the first 90 days here is going to be busy with building inspection. It's the land use end of it. I have it scheduled because we have meetings on Mondays. So I have time to get all that stuff prepared and advertised. And it seems like it's getting better. It's getting busier now, but I'm not sure if that's because of the COVID stuff kind of relaxing now, but some of the stuff got backed up due to that. So I anticipate probably not just for 90 days, it's probably going to be busy for the next 6, 7 months, 8 months until the fall, till the weather gets cold again.
Okay, if you're offered the job, you need to take them. I misspelled that, not talk. You'll need to take and pass a drug test. Are you willing to take a drug test?
Yes, no problem.
You'll also have to do perhaps physical analysis down at Pro Rehab. You okay with that?
That's fine.
You understand the requirements of the job?
Yes.
Have anything you want to add? Or Kim, do you have any questions or any questions for us?
I don't have any questions or anything to add.
I don't have anything. I think honestly, if I was offered the job at this point, I could probably hit the ground running because I'm very familiar with a lot of stuff.
If you're offered the job, you'll be comfortable doing inspections and stuff. I mean, because you're right. Right now, there's quite a bit of building going on, and there's more inquiries of people wanting to build in our area. And we're looking at going to the 2018 code that will allow tiny homes, and tiny homes are another animal, a complete animal of their own. Are you okay learning those codes and thinking that you can do those inspections and not put the county in some kind of liability?
Yeah, I would be very careful with that. If I wasn't sure on something, I have an inspector that I worked with is with the city now. I can give him a call. And he has made me aware that he works with Dan Weed. If Dan Weed is going to be involved with the 2018, I'm hoping that I will be able to tap into his experience to do that. Also, I probably would have questions because I know he does most of the commercial inspections for the city of Trinidad, and we have some commercial buildings coming up that are going to involve occupancy and for that building plus living quarters, and the business is going to be run out of there. So,
okay. All right, Bob, thank you very much for your time, and okay. Kim will be getting with you in not too distant future.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.